Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of God. You're welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus podcast, where our lives have been transformed by the preaching of the word of God. Hallelujah. Okay, so we've been studying A City Set on a Hill, and it's been a powerful study. Praise God. Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. And then, so far in this series, I've been stressing the fact that when Bible says a city that cannot be a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden, Jesus was not saying that the believer automatically has influence in the world, whether he chooses to, you know, shine the light or not. That's not what he was saying. Glory to God. What he likens to a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden is a light that is, or a light or a lamp that is not hidden under a basket, but put on a lampstand in order to give light to men. So the believer can be hidden. Amen. So we are described as the light, but then we are given instruction on how to function as the light. Because there is the possibility of not shining as the light, of not having the right influence or making the right impact in the world as a Christian. Glory to God. And I said in the last teaching now that when the Bible says, let your light so shine before men, you have to connect verse 16 with verse 15. The soul there is in this manner or in this way. Let your light in this manner. Which manner or what way? In the same manner that a lamp is put on a lampstand to give light to men. Praise God. And we saw that the word shine is from the same Greek word as the phrase give light. So when he says let your light in this manner shine before men, what he was saying in essence is, let your light in this way give light to men, or give light in the presence of men. And then we saw the example of John the Baptist. How did John the Baptist shine as the light? By preaching the gospel of Christ, by bearing witness to the person of Christ, because Jesus is the true light. So you cannot be shining the light when the attention is on you. And the attention is just on what you are doing, your lifestyle, your legacy. No, shining the light is about bearing witness to the person of Jesus, because Jesus is the true light. Glory to God. So that's important to note. And then we're just going to make progress from there today. Praise God. Also, today I want us to consider the life of Jesus. Jesus himself is called the light. He is the light. John 8, 12, Jesus is referred to as the light of the world. He says categorically, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. So the point is, how did Jesus shine as the light? Let's get to John chapter 8 and verse 12 to investigate the context of that statement that Jesus made. I am the light of the world. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. What was the context of that statement? What led to Jesus saying what he said? John chapter 8, verse 12. Praise God. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Glory to God. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Did you notice something? I am the light. Anyone that follows me will not abide in darkness. What is he going to receive? He's going to have the light of life. That means that the light of Jesus is meant to give life to men. Amen. I know this is consistent with what John said about him at John chapter 1. Glory to God. At John chapter 1, it refers to Jesus or the life that Jesus would give as the light of men. John 1, 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not abide in darkness or walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So Jesus being the light is for the purpose of giving light to men. Glory to God. And then look at the context of that statement, John 8, 12. What was the context? From verse 1, Bible says, but Jesus went to Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? So they had gotten this woman caught in the very act. The man was missing. Only God knows why. Praise God. But then, you know, of course, there's some favoritism right there. They have spared the man. There's another, you know, thought that came to my mind one time while I was studying this, which is a possibility anyway, that in those days, men most times had the liberty of having multiple wives and all that, concubines. So they might have spared the woman, spared the man on that basis. Glory to God. And then the woman is considered to be the one committing adultery. That's just a thought anyway. You don't have to build any doctrine on that. Just a thought. So this woman was caught in adultery and they brought her to Jesus. And then they said, Moses instructed us to stone this woman to death. What do you say? Hallelujah. What do you say? In verse 6, Bible says, this they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. The reason why Jesus did not say anything in response or did not, you know, directly say, no, don't stone her. Why should you? I mean, no, you can't stone her. Let's forgive. Was because there was a law in place. Amen. Bible makes us realize at Galatians chapter 4 how that Jesus was born under the law. The seed of the woman was born under the law to redeem those who are under the law. So Jesus was operating under the law of Moses, under the time or the dispensation, whichever you choose, of the law of Moses. Hallelujah. And so Jesus would have to play by the system. Jesus wouldn't have to rebel against the system because they had every right in the law of Moses to condemn him. Amen. For going against the instructions or the laid down rules and regulations. So Jesus stooped down and began to write with his finger as though he did not hear them. Amen. Now, oral tradition has it that, what is oral tradition? Things that were said, passed on to people by way of history. Oral tradition has it that Jesus was writing all kinds of sins, adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, you know, he was writing all kinds of sins, you know, failure to fulfill your oath, perform your oath under the Old Testament, failure to pay your tithe. He was listing all kinds of sins. That was what he was writing on the ground. Oral tradition, I said. So when he continued asking, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Amen. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Amen. So he kept writing on the ground after what he said. Bible says in verse 9, then those who had been convicted by their own conscience went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Glory to God. Look at verse 10. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. So what was the context of Jesus's statement? I am the light of the world. What was the context of that phrase? He had just offered a woman forgiveness. He had just delivered a woman from the condemnation of the law. He had just delivered a woman from our accusers. Amen. Now, if you juxtapose this with Acts 26, verse 18, where Jesus gave instruction to Paul concerning the ministry which he was going to give unto him, you discover that the light of God is particularly connected with the gift of life. It is connected with the gift of forgiveness or remission of sins. And it's one and the same. Remission of sins, forgiveness, the gift of eternal life, the gift of the Holy Ghost, they are all one and the same. Because remission of sins in the New Testament is not about God pardoning men of their offenses. Remission of sins is the setting free of the offender. Hallelujah. where God changes the offender, God transforms the offender, and he sets him free from the captivity to sin. Amen. Or the captivity of sin. So look at Acts 26. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles 26. Hallelujah. And I'll read from verse 17. I'll deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. Have you seen? To turn them from what? From darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So how are men turned from darkness to light? By the gift of the remission of sins. How are they turned from the power of Satan to God? By the gift of the remission of sins. Amen. So it was in the context of Jesus liberating a woman or delivering a woman from her accusers, from condemnation, from the judgment of the law, that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. What is darkness? A state in which man has rejected God's forgiveness. A state in which man is held in the prison doors or held behind the prison doors of sin. A state in which man is a captive of Satan. So Jesus says to Paul, you will turn them from Satan to God. You will turn them from darkness to light by the gift of remission of sins. That is, it is by the proclamation of the gospel, men are brought from darkness into light. It is by the proclamation of the gospel, men are delivered from the power of Satan and are brought into God or brought to God. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at Luke's gospel, chapter 4, when Jesus was speaking about his ministry and he located the prophecy of Isaiah, which was a prophecy concerning his ministry, Luke chapter 4, glory to God, you'll find the same emphasis, the same consistent truth. Luke 4, 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to who? To the captives. Hallelujah. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. If you turn to Colossians, hallelujah, Colossians and chapter 1, Colossians 1, you find the same consistent truth. Men are delivered from darkness and brought into the light of God by the offering of forgiveness. The gospel is liberation to men who are in the prison, men who are in captivity to Satan. Amen. So there is no shining of the light if men are not being delivered from darkness. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 12. Bible says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. How did he deliver us from the power of darkness? Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. That is how Jesus liberates men from darkness, brings them into light. If you remember what John said at John 1, 1 to 4 or 1 to 6 again, you realize that he also shows us that the light of God is the gift of life. Amen. In him was life, John 1, 4. And the life was the light of men. So that was exactly how Jesus was shining as the light. Jesus was not just in the world going about doing good, all kinds of good and all kinds of good. No, he went about preaching the gospel, and in the environment of preaching the gospel, he was doing his own kind of good works. Amen. Such that when you read Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You are not meant to see it as Jesus just going about walking, through the dusty streets of Jerusalem or Samaria or anywhere, Judea, and then he was just looking for all kinds of good works to do. Can I help you wash your plate? Praise God. Or can we help you clean your gutter? Can we help you with, can we just help you carry, fetch water? Let's, and to show the glory of God. No. The good works of Jesus were done in the environment of the preaching of the gospel. Amen. That was how Jesus shined as the light. Look at this that the prophets spoke about him. Matthew chapter 4. Praise God. Matthew chapter 4. And I'll read from verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Hallelujah. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he says, you know, because Jesus went to Galilee, he says, those who sat in darkness, that is where men find the light. Praise God. Now, if you look at verse 17, you find out that Jesus was not just in Galilee sitting down. Amen. He was there preaching the gospel of Christ. That is what the prophet spoke about as light dawning upon those who sat in the region of darkness and death. Amen. Verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. So Jesus was preaching in Galilee. That is what it means to shine the light. That was how come men in that region came in contact with the light of God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Glory to God. And then verse 24. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Glory to God. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Have you seen that? Hallelujah. Have you seen that? So Jesus was not just in Galilee trying to do good works. He was in Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Bible says he went about all Galilee. So how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good. You see how he went about. He went about preaching. And in the environment of preaching, things were happening. Hallelujah. Signs and wonders. Men were being delivered from oppression. Men were seeing the goodness of God in healing the sick. So Jesus shined as the light. He shined as the light by preaching the word. Now, isn't it funny that we say Jesus is our example, and then we look at him shining the light by preaching the gospel? I mean, that's the light. Glory to God. That's the light. Amen. So imagine that the light which you are to bear witness to was also bearing witness to himself. Amen. And that was how he was shining as the light in the midst of the world. Glory to God. And you know, Jesus is our model. He's our example. Amen. He's our example. He's our model. We ought to look at Jesus and follow his footsteps. Jesus left us an example to follow his footsteps. So if as the light that he is shined as the light by showing men himself, by revealing himself to them from the scriptures, by preaching the gospel concerning himself, that is the same way you and I are expected to shine as the light in this world. Hallelujah. That's exactly how we're expected to shine as a light in this world. And that's why Jesus gave instruction for us, you know, to us to just go into the world and preach the gospel. Because that's how to shine the light of Christ. Amen. Now, if you look at the immediate context of Matthew 5 again, Matthew 5, 15, 16, Matthew 5, 14, 15, 16, again, like I pointed out, you discover that he already mentions how we're going to be persecuted and reviled, just like the prophets. Matthew 5, 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? So we are the salt of the earth in that we are here with the gospel of Christ shining as the light of God, revealing Jesus to men. That is what it means to be the salt of the earth, or to be the light of the world, and to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. We are here to bear witness to the person of Christ. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost was sent to empower us for this task and mission. Acts 1:8. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you see the importance of reading the Bible in context. Amen. So that when we see, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, you don't take that to mean just go about doing all kinds of good works that you consider to be good works. Amen. Because realize this, there are good works in the world that are not good works in the faith or in Christ. They are not exclusive to men who are in the faith, who are in Christ. Because the good works by which men will glorify the Father in heaven are good works found in Christ. The kinds of works that Jesus did. Amen. Jesus' kind of good works. John chapter 14 and verse 10 to 12. John 14, 10 to 12. Glory to God. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The word that I speak to you, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Amen. Have you seen? It is the Father doing the works. The Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So the good works are things that glorify the Father, because the good works are done by the Spirit of the Father at work in us. Amen. So there are good works exclusive to believers. There are good works found in Christ Jesus alone. And then we're going to continue to expound on this in the coming episodes. Glory be to God. So we're going to continue from here tomorrow. But then today we're going to have a short session of prayer. And in the coming days also, that's the leading and direction that we have by the Spirit of God. We're going to have short sessions of prayer after every teaching on the broadcast for a while now. So just a short session of prayer, and then we'll go about our daily businesses. So don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of power, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.